Title of my sermon this morning is How's Your Heart? And I want to begin this morning by asking you a question. How many of you have ever been told, just follow your heart? Maybe it was from a friend giving advice. Maybe you heard it in a movie, or maybe it's something you've even told yourself in a moment of decision. Follow your heart sounds nice, doesn't it? Almost comforting. Follow your heart and everything will work out. But let me challenge you this morning with this. What if your heart's lying to you? The truth is, following your heart is one of the most dangerous decisions you can ever make. And yet, it is the very mantra of our culture. All you have to do is turn the TV on this afternoon when you get home, and you'll hear it loud and clear. Follow your heart. The world, it preaches it like the gospel. The message is everywhere. It's in commercials, it's in movies, it's in music, it's in advice from your friends. Follow your heart and you'll have no regrets. Follow your heart and life will be sunshine and rainbows. Follow your heart and you'll finally find happiness. And so the idea, it sounds appealing. And so our hearts, they're painted like this inner compass that is always pointing us to true north. Our hearts are described as wise, trustworthy guides, ready to lead us to our best life if we just have the courage to listen to it. But we need to stop and be honest for a moment. Think back to a time when you actually followed your heart. What was the result of doing so? Did that decision lead you to life or did it leave you with regret? Did you regret the choice or decision you had made to follow your heart? And if we're honest with ourselves, every one of us can point to a moment when following our hearts led us straight into disappointment and even disaster. And yet the world still chants this mantra. You're lost, but your heart will save you. But the truth is that your heart is not a shepherd, it is not a compass, and it is not a guide. According to the scriptures, the heart is more like a pompous sheep, easily deceived, and sometimes it even has wolf-like qualities because of the sin that we still have in our lives. So, church, hear me this morning. Don't follow your heart. Don't even trust your heart blindly. At best, you can only listen to your heart to hear what it wants. And often what we want in our hearts is not what we need. So that's why instead of following our hearts, we must take everything that it tells us, our desires, our cravings, our fears, our longings, both the good and bad, and lay them down at the feet of Jesus. Amen? Lay them down before Him in our prayers as confessions and as requests, because only Jesus can take you where you should go. Instead of trusting the lies of our own hearts, we must turn to the one who truly knows us, our shepherd, the one who guides with perfect wisdom and care. When life feels uncertain, confusing, and even frightening, we can find rest and direction in Christ. Amen? And this is why the psalmist declares with confidence in Psalm 23, verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." We have to remember that Jesus is our shepherd. He knows the paths that lead to life and fulfillment, paths our hearts could never chart on its own. And John chapter 10, verse 27 tells us, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." So we have to take heed and listen to the voice of Jesus, following Him not just in obedience, but also in trust. Amen? Amen? And like sheep that instinctively follow their shepherd, we too are called to hear His voice and to move in the direction that He guides. Because John 14:6 tells us that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Him. Amen? So Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And He will lead you into eternal life. And only in Him can we find the guidance that our hearts cannot provide. The world likes us to assume that our hearts are trustworthy, but the Word of God, it declares something entirely different. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" I'm going to read that again. "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" So this verse, it's a powerful reminder of the human condition and the need for a profound and transformative relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? God's Word, it tells us that our hearts are deceitful and desperately sick. So why would you ever want to follow your heart? And the condition of our hearts is nothing new. Ever since the fall of mankind, man has had a heart problem. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, it says, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." So the condition of our hearts is nothing new. Because the heart is deceitful. It leads us to act impulsively or simply to go with the flow. We tell ourselves, if it feels right, just do it. And in that moment of listening to our hearts, it may feel right, but in the end, it isn't trustworthy. Because sin promises us one thing and then it delivers something else. Yes, sin in the moment can seem fun. But church, there is always a price that must be paid. Amen? Amen? If not today, maybe tomorrow, but definitely in eternity. So we have to understand that the heart is pathologically selfish. It is only going to seek what it thinks is best for you. And our hearts, they've all been tainted with sin since the fall of humanity in the Garden of Eden. In Job chapter 14, verse 4, Job makes the following statement: "Who can bring a clean thing of an unclean? No one. No man can bring something clean out of the unclean." And our sinfulness, it clouds our judgment and it leads us astray. We find ourselves making decisions based on selfish desires, seeking instant gratification, or ignoring the consequences of our actions. And every decision and action we take has a consequence that we must face in time. And the very center of every problem is a problem of the heart. Now, the human heart is deceitful and incurable. It's not just others who deceive us. We can also deceive ourselves. We rationalize our actions. We justify our sins. And we convince ourselves that our way is the best way. But this is self-deception. And the self-deception only leads us farther and farther away from God's truth. Now today in our society, they would have you believe that the only truth that matters is your very own truth. If you don't believe me, watch the news tonight. And yet God, He searches the heart and the mind, and He knows exactly how to reward us, each one, based on our actions and what we do. And so the question posed in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, it highlights our limited understanding of our own hearts. Because the truth of the matter is, none of us actually know our hearts. Amen? Y'all don't sound too sure about that. But I promise you it's true. But God, He fully understands our hearts because He is all-knowing. There is nothing that is hidden from God. He knows our every thought, our every motive, and our every desire. Church, does that statement give you pause this morning? Because it should. Because our deepest and darkest best kept secrets are already known by God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13 tells us, "And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." If we want to know our hearts, we must read the Word and let the Spirit teach us. Amen? And since God knows our hearts better than we could ever understand them, we must seek His guidance in all aspects of our life because it is essential. So, church, are you being intentional of examining God's Word each and every day? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to you through God's Word? If not, today is the day to change that. Amen? So how's your prayer life this morning? Do you have a prayer life today? Church, our answers to those two questions indicate the condition of our hearts. If we're failing to read the Word of God, if we're failing to pray each day, our hearts aren't doing very well. Amen? Because we must learn to lean on God's wisdom, trust in His discernment, and rely on His unfailing love. Because our capacity to deceive ourselves and function in rebellion against God is endless. Psalm 53, verses 1 through 3 had this to say, "The fool has said in his heart, 'There is no God.' They are corrupt and have done abominable iniquity. There is none who does good." Church, we are all included in that there is none who does good. God looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. Every one of them has turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good. No, not one. We have to acknowledge our heart's deceitfulness and our inability to comprehend our hearts thoroughly. And we have to find hope in God's guidance. But if we're not praying, if we're not studying, you're not going to have that guidance. Only God can lead us on the path of righteousness, helping us make those choices that align with His will and purpose for our lives. Church, your will and your thoughts on your purpose don't matter. Amen? What God has set for you to do is what matters. So are you doing it? If not, examine your heart. Church, it is time that we stop living according to our own wills and our own heart's desire. It's time for us to start seeking God's perfect will for our lives. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, "Encourage us, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Now listen to me. We do not know ourselves as well as we think we do. We must be saved from our hearts, and we cannot do it alone. Our hearts are drawn to sin, and the world offers countless temptations and distractions that can lead us away from God. John chapter 3, verse 19 says, "And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil." So our hearts can deceive us into thinking worldly pursuits will bring us happiness or fulfillment. Yet we know from the Scriptures that the pleasures of sin are fleeting and ultimately lead to spiritual emptiness. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 encourages us, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage." Because that is what sin is. And so this is where the gospel comes in, the good news. Amen? Because we need the gospel to cure our hearts. And church, what is the gospel? I've asked the Bible study classes several times, how would you explain the gospel in 5 words? An easy one is a quote by Martin Luther himself, Jesus Christ in our place. But my favorite way to explain the gospel is from Brother James Madison. He was the pastor that baptized me when I was 9 years old. And he explained the gospel in this way. Jesus Christ crucified, resurrected, and returning. Amen? So since we cannot know ourselves, and because we can't do the necessary heart surgery, God sent His very own Son to live a life of obedience and holiness where He honored God. Jesus, He went to the cross and died for us. Amen?
Amen.
If nothing else in the Bible gets you excited, that truth ought to be the one. But He not only did He die for us, but on that third day He rose and He was victorious over the grave, hell, and death. He holds the keys. And to this day, He sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding on behalf of each and every one of us. And because of what He accomplished in His time here on earth, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 promises, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not might, but shall be." And when we do that, when we call out upon the name of the Lord, when we put our faith and our trust in His Son, well, He begins to work through us through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and He takes out that heart of stone which we had in our chest, and He replaces it with a heart of flesh. He takes out that heart which was hardened toward what is right and good, and then He replaces it with a heart that knows and loves the truth. Because without that, we don't seek the truth. Amen?
Amen.
Romans chapter 6, verse 17 and 18 says, "But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." Church, you are either a slave to sin or you are a slave to righteousness. Amen? Before you profess Christ as Lord and Savior, you used to have this heart of stone that was leading you away. But now, once you are an adopted child of God, you have a heart of flesh that is following the path of truth, pressing into God's truth and following after God. Church, only Jesus can give you a new heart, give you a new clean heart, and a heart that wants to follow Him. In Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 26 and 27, the Lord declares, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them." If you're here this morning and you don't yet know Jesus as your Savior, if you don't have a personal relationship with Him, I urge you right now, right here, cry out to Him. Ask Him to save you, to give you a new heart, and to make you a new creation. Let Jesus be your first love, the center of your life, and the one who transforms everything about you from the inside out. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus has to be your first love. Because if He's not, we give room for other things to enter into our hearts. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 tells us, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." And if you're in Christ and you're still acting like the old, it is time to repent. So for those of us who are followers of Christ, the question remains, how can we continue to position our hearts to follow Jesus? Because until we go home to be with Jesus in glory, our hearts are still corruptible by what we engage in, what we watch, and what we pursue in this world. See, there's a struggle and a battle that we must fight daily. So what does it mean to follow Jesus with our whole hearts? Well, Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me.'" Following Jesus begins with denying ourselves and our heart's desires. Amen? It requires us to take up our crosses and to follow Him, and it's simply that simple. Church, the heart follows what it's filled with. It follows what you feed your heart. If you feed and fill your heart with the wrong things, your heart is going to lead you astray each and every day. But if you fill your things with the things of God, well, then your heart will begin to lead you to life. We are to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. But too often, Christians treat God like a spare tire. He's where we go when everything else fails. One of my favorite questions I love to ask people is, when something wrong goes in your life, who do you tell first? For most, we call a friend, we call family. We'll complain about it to anyone else, but we won't go to God first. We'll go to God when it's the very last thing that we have left. But He should be the first one we take it to. Amen? Church, we have to seek God's perspective through His Word every day. You have to feed your heart on God's Word. Because God's Word, it pierces the heart and mind, revealing its truth to us. The Word of God, it convicts us of our sin and points us to Jesus as the only path to salvation. Amen?
Amen.
We have to be like the psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 11. "Your Word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." So whatever we fill our hearts with is what our hearts will seek. See, our hearts were never meant or designed to be followed. They were meant and designed to be led. Our hearts were not designed to be gods in whom we believe. They were intended to believe in God. So don't follow your heart. Direct your heart to believe in God. Amen?
Amen.
Don't follow your heart. Follow Jesus. Now Solomon, he was the wisest person ever to live, and his wisdom was a gift from God. So we're going to examine what he had to say concerning the heart. So the primary text for our sermon this morning is Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 27. And verse 20 starts with, "My son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings." This passage, it begins with an appeal to pay attention to God's word. Listening to God's wisdom is the foundation of a righteous life. Amen? See, wisdom is not merely an intellectual pursuit, but a matter of the heart. And God's Word, it should be written on our hearts, influencing our desires and our decisions. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." So as we trust God to direct our paths, we must also guard our hearts, because what we store there, lies or God's truth, it shapes the direction of our lives. So Proverbs chapter 4, verse 21, "Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart." So the heart is a storage container. We can either put in the truth or we can put in lies. And if our hearts are the storage container for what we hold on to, then it is crucial that we fill them with God's Word. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 encourages us, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." to when we put the words of Christ and we allow them to fill our hearts, it doesn't just guide us. It brings life and health to us. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 22. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. So Solomon, he compares the word of God to medicine, calling it life and health to one's whole body. And the aim of this passage is to emphasize life and healing comes through the word of God. Amen? And just as we prioritize our physical health, we should prioritize our spiritual well-being through regular intake of God's word. Psalm 107:20 says, He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. So God's word not only brings healing and deliverance, as Psalm 107:20 reminds us, but it also transforms the very core of who we are. So back to Proverbs 4, verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. The heart is central to our well-being, representing our innermost thoughts, emotions, and desires. And this wellspring of life, what we allow into our heart, profoundly impacts our lives. And we're instructed to guard our hearts diligently because everything that goes in flows from it. So we don't follow our hearts, we guard our hearts. Proverbs 4:23 in the CSB stated this way, guard your heart above all else, for it is the source of life. And the word that's used here for guarded, it's like that of a guard in a castle. And a castle guard would be willing to kill anyone or anything with force who would try to storm that castle. So we have to guard our hearts in the same way, the same manner, protecting it and being careful what we're letting in. So we have to keep our hearts from being corrupted, amen? More than anything, you must remain vigilant and guard your heart against the things that shouldn't be let in. Who you are, what you think, and the decisions that you make are all shaped by the condition of your heart. What you feed your heart will cause it to chase after what it's provided. So be careful of what you let in your heart, because it will chase after what you feed it. And an unguarded heart will always lead you astray. Every day we are bombarded by influences and desires that try to pull our hearts away from God. But we should never, ever forget that the surest way to guard our hearts is to keep Jesus Christ as our first love. Amen?
Amen.
Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 says, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And if Christ is not seated in the center of our hearts, everything else will try to take His place. But when Christ is first, every other desire is in its proper order. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 exhorts us, Set your mind on things above and not on the things on earth. When we lift our eyes and our minds to heavenly things, we begin to see life from God's perspective. Our hearts are no longer swayed by the fleeting worries or distractions of this world. They are anchored in eternity. And then when anxiety tries to creep in, when the weight of life threatens to overwhelm us, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7 reminds us, Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
And I want you to notice that word, guard. God Himself promises to stand watch over our hearts if we seek Him first.
Amen.
When we set our minds on things above and when we bring everything to prayer, God will keep your heart. He will watch over it. Back to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 24. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Solomon here, he emphasizes the importance of guarding our speech, encouraging us to speak truth and to avoid deceit. Our words, they have the power to build up or to tear down, so we must choose them wisely. Amen?
Amen.
And Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. So our words, they can either build up or they can destroy when we allow, and what comes out of our mouth is what we allow into our hearts through what we say and what we read. Proverbs 4:25 says, let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. So we're urged to keep our eyes straight ahead, fixated on what is good and what is pure. The New Living Translation puts it this way, look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies right before you. In a world filled with temptations and distractions, we must be intentional about what we focus our gaze on. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2 say, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with the endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The author of Hebrews encourages us to fix our eyes upon Jesus so that we might be able to run our race with endurance and shielding us from anything that hinders our walk. As I said earlier, if Jesus is not first in your heart, you're allowing something else to take that spot. But if Jesus is first in your heart, nothing can take his place. Amen?
Amen.
Similarly, Solomon urges us to be careful and pay attention to the path that we take, pondering each step, keeping our ways established, and avoiding every deviation that leads us away from righteousness. So Proverbs chapter 4, verse 26 through 27. Ponder the path of your feet. Let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. And by following Solomon's guidance, following the word of God, we commit to walk in God's ways, making our paths straight and avoiding any detours that lead us into sin. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 says, the blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Church, if your heart isn't doing well, you're not doing well. Because what goes into your heart determines your words and it determines your actions. What we put into the container of our hearts, it will come out. Jesus taught us this in Matthew chapter 15, verse 18 and 19. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies. That's what's coming out of our hearts, and our culture says, follow your heart. What we see determines what we feel and what comes out of us. What goes into our hearts determines what flows out of our lives. Remember, we do not follow our hearts, we lead our hearts. Amen?
Amen.
So how do we lead our hearts? The simple answer is, our heart will follow what it's fed. If you're not careful with your heart, you're going to end up someplace you don't want to be in. Perhaps an addiction you can't break. A relationship that's abusive. If you don't lead your heart, you're going to find yourself somewhere you don't want to be. And all the while, the world is telling you to follow your heart. Sin is usually the easiest choice, but the path of least resistance is often a deadly road. Many lives have been ruined by the inability to say no to that which is dishonorable. We live in a culture that says if it feels good, do it. But church, sin will take you farther than you want to go. It will keep you longer than you want to stay. And it will cost you more than you're willing to pay. The heart doesn't want what it wants. It wants what you feed it. The heart wants what it is fed, taught, instructed, and shown. And the more you feed it, the greater the appetite your heart's going to have. So stop following your heart's feelings and start feeding it what it needs. Again, what we feed our heart determines what we feel and what comes out of us. As Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34b through 37, "For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." So this morning, if you have a harsh tongue, well, it shows that you have an angry heart. If you have a negative tongue, it shows you have a fearful heart. If you have an overactive or overreactive tongue, it shows that you have an unsettled heart. If you have a boasting tongue, it shows that you have an insecure heart. If you have a filthy tongue, it shows that you have an impure heart. If you have a critical tongue, it shows that you have a bitter heart. But if you always speak encouragingly, well, that shows that you have a graceful heart. If you speak gently, it shows that you have a loving heart. If you speak fruitfully, it'll show that you have an honest heart. So here are some final questions for you this morning. How can we discern God's guidance in our lives? And how can we overcome the deceitfulness of our hearts and live according to God's truth? In a time when the godlessness of the world is ever increasing, it is more important than ever to heed the Word of God. Because the Word of God is a sure foundation that we can build our lives upon. Amen? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." When we neglect the Word of God, we are neglecting the very thing that has the power to change our lives and to change our hearts. The Word of God has the power to convict of sins, to teach the truth, and to lead us into righteousness. A.W. Tozer made the following observation: "The Word of God, well understood and religiously obeyed, is the shortest route to spiritual perfection. And we must not select a few favorite passages to the exclusion of others. Nothing less than the whole Bible can make a whole Christian." So we must be like the psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 10 and 11. "With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." Church, how much is your heart worth to you? If you struggle with being a workaholic, purity, sobriety, well, then consider what you're feeding your heart. You need to identify what you're feeding it. Put in the good and stop allowing the bad to enter. Amen? Amen. Don't follow your heart. Guard your heart. Because an unguarded heart will lead you astray. We have to lead and feed our hearts each and every day. Let us not be like those who cast aside the Word of God, preferring instead the empty promises of this world. Let us treasure God's Word, hiding it in our hearts so that we might not sin against Him. Don't feed your heart what's going to kill it. Start feeding your heart those good things, what your heart needs. Feed it the Word of God. And that will lead you to God's best. This morning, let us never forget that Jesus must be our first love. Amen? Amen. The Lord told the church in Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. It's possible to go through the motions of religion. It's possible to even guard your hearts outwardly. Yet, if without the love of Christ, we will grow cold inwardly. If Christ isn't first in our lives, then it doesn't matter what we put on the outside. Something else will take the spot that Christ deserves. So to truly guard our hearts, we must keep Christ enthroned in them. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, Jesus said to them, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Church, Jesus doesn't want to be second place in your affections. We are called to love Him above all. And when Christ is our first love, our hearts will be rightly ordered, and our desires will be purified, and our lives will overflow with His goodness. So let us return to Him with undivided devotion and feed our hearts with His Word and to spend time in His presence daily. So this morning, how's your heart? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that even though that we cannot truly know our hearts, that You do. Father, we seek to feed and lead our hearts the way that we should. And we know that our sin nature causes us to stumble. But even on our stumbling, we find grace and mercy because of who You are. Father, it's my prayer this morning that if Christ hasn't been first in our lives, that today we would make that commitment to put Your Son first and over everything. That we allow Him to be our good shepherd, to lead us on the path that we need to be led on. Father, this morning, search our hearts. Show us any uncleanliness that might be there, any sin that we haven't dealt with. Convict us of the things that You find, that we might guard our hearts. So this morning we lift this prayer up in the precious name of Jesus.